This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad
in it. What a wonderful day it is to be together. Whether we are together in the sanctuary or gathering online, the Spirit of Christ is among us, connecting us in that love. I would invite everyone who's present this morning, whether you're in the sanctuary or worshiping online, to register your attendance and let us know that you're here. If you are online, there should be a link up on the screen that you can follow to register. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the end of each row, and if you would sign those and pass them down the way and sign them and pass them back up. And for those of you sitting on the center aisles, if you wouldn't mind tearing out all of the sheets that are filled out and placing them on top, that's a huge help for our volunteers who come in after the service. If you would rather not pass the pad but want to register digitally, there's a QR code in the bulletin you can scan with your phones, and that will let you do a lot of things digitally throughout the service. I want to make sure and point that out to you. A few announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 5 o'clock is our service of Teze worship and prayer. It is a contemplative service of music and silence and prayer, and you can worship either in person or online at 5 o'clock. Next Sunday afternoon from 4:30 to 6:30 is our church picnic. We'll be gathering at Richland Park, and we invite you to come and bring your own food, and we'll just have some time to be outdoors, and I think the weather's going to be great as of today, so it'll be a fun time, fingers crossed, to be together and just share fellowship with one another. Also, next weekend, we are looking for folks to volunteer on our habitat build. There's information on the back of your bulletin on where to find more information and sign up. And we hope to have lots of West End folks out there with hammers and nails and doing the work of building a home in the name of Christ. This Sunday is our last Sunday to hear scriptures about dancing. Next week, we will be moving into Mark's Gospel, and we'll spend most of the fall in the middle of Mark's Gospel. So if you want to do some homework, I would invite you to begin reading the Gospel of Mark, and we'll join in that journey together as a congregation. But today, we get to join with King David as he sings and dances and rejoices. And may that joy fill us as we worship together this day.
Thank you. sing before the Holy One. Dance before the Holy One.
Let every soul dance with joy.
Let us give honor and glory to the Holy One.
May our hearts rejoice as we worship our God.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within God's perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Lord of the dance, creator of whirling winds and shimmering flames, we confess that too often we fail to be moved by your spirit. We are charmed by the comfort of routine, and we grant too much power to the opinions of others. Forgive us, Holy One. Breathe life into the songs of worship. Set our hearts ablaze with your word. May we worship you with boundless joy. And may you delight in our offerings of praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we'll exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Please remember to keep COVID practices, 6 feet, peace from a distance. May the peace of Christ be with you. Of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Bill and Allison Walker bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Bill and Allison, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, we do?
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple that walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Bill and Allison, what name have you given your son?
Theodore Russell Walker.
Theodore Russell Walker. I baptize you in the name of God who created you, Christ who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who sustains you and gives you hope. Amen. And now, Teddy, I'm going to invite your dad also to come and lay a hand on you, and Pastor Aaron. And all of us together are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Teddy, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Teddy, I'm going to invite Mom and Dad to step right here in front and center so the whole congregation gathered in person and online can see your beautiful face as we make our promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Theodore Russell? Now it is our joy to welcome him, our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Theodore Russell to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Theodore Russell, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark with the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food amongst all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. David returned to bless his household, but Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of the servants' maids, as any vulgar fellow might shamelessly uncover himself." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me in place of your father and all his household to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord, that I have danced before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in my own eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor." The word of God for the people of God.
It's time for our children's moment. If we have any children in the sanctuary who want to come up and join me up here, please do. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little bit closer to your screens and we'll share a moment together. Yay, come on up. So glad to see you. What a happy day for your family. Baptism. Oh, look at that. Looks like a cupcake, you're right. Good morning, everybody. So glad to see you. You're very smart to be wearing rain boots. It's pretty rainy out there, isn't it? Yeah, I don't either. I need to get some. So, we've just heard a story about King David. King David was a really important person in the Bible, and he was a very strong and successful king. But in this story, he doesn't look like a king at all. He's taken off his crown, he's taken off all of his kingly robes, and he is just dancing before God because he loves God so much. And that inspires me because I want to love God like that, and I want to just be able to worship God and not think about what other people might think. There was a person in this story who saw David doing that, just worshiping with his whole heart and dancing and she thought, "He looks really silly." And she told him that, "You look so silly out there." And you know what he said? He said, "I don't care. I was doing it for God." And that reminds me that, you know, when we are doing something for God, when we're doing the right thing, when we're being kind, when we're loving God, dancing for God, telling the truth, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter what other people think, as long as we do the right thing and we do it for God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this story about King David. It shows us how much he loved you. Now he was willing to worship you no matter what other people thought of him. Help us to be brave and to follow you and to be loving and kind and tell the truth no matter what other people think, because you are the one who matters the most. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie, who's waving over by the door. And if you're not 3, 4, or 5, you can go back and sit with your families or friends. Thank you so much. At the 8:45 service, instead of the children's moment, our third graders got their Bibles. So there are two of those Bibles still on the altar table so you can see them. And I shared with our third graders that one of the things I love about the Bible is that we get all different kinds of stories about people. And that's true when it comes to King David. We have stories about David that show us how much he loved God and how in so many ways he was a great hero. But then we also have stories about David that show that he wasn't perfect, that he made a lot of mistakes. And all of that gets passed down to us. One of the things we know about King David that is told to us in Scripture is that he was a man after God's own heart, that he loved God with his whole being. So many of our psalms are attributed to David, psalms of love and gratitude, psalms expressing anger and grief toward God, just showing us the way that David poured his heart out before God again and again. We hear about his greatness as a king and how he was kind and compassionate in so many ways. But we also hear about David's weaknesses and how imperfect he was. Perhaps the best known story is how he sinned against Bathsheba and then had her husband killed in battle and tried to cover it all up until he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. There are ways to read some of David's decisions that reveal him to be a very savvy politician, perhaps somewhat manipulative. Before he became king, he was a mercenary soldier and even perhaps a double agent. And then as he got older, he got more complacent and more enamored with his own power. And eventually his sons fought against each other and the kingdom began to collapse. So David is a complicated character. We see the good, the bad, and the ugly passed down to us in the Scriptures, for which I am deeply grateful. And I am grateful that this morning we get to hear this story when I believe David is at his best. He is full on, wholeheartedly, full-bodiedly worshiping the God whom he loves with all his heart. What is he dancing about? What is happening in this story? Well, he is bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem for the very first time. Up until this point in history, there had not been a capital of Israel. And David wants to make Jerusalem the capital, where he will have his palace, which hasn't been built yet, and where there will be a temple of worship to God, which also hasn't been built yet. And so he decides that in order to do that, he wants to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city. Now, the Ark was something that had been built for the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. It was believed to contain in some mysterious way the presence of God. Not to contain it completely, not putting God in a box, but somehow conveying the Spirit of God that would go before them on their journey. It, once they came into the Promised Land, was in Shiloh, where the priest Eli tended to it in that generation. But David decides it's time to move it to Jerusalem. Now it takes this circuitous route. It's captured by the Philistines for a little while, but it wreaks such havoc in their ranks that they give it back, which is kind of a funny part of the story. But in this moment that we heard about this morning, it's arriving in Jerusalem. And did you notice what David did to welcome the Ark into Jerusalem? As I said to the children, he removed all of his kingly trappings and wore only a linen ephod, which was an outer garment that the Levites, the priests, would have worn. It's as if he's consecrating himself just for this purpose, to be in the presence of God in the Ark. Now, what may not be so clear in the story is that he's wearing this sleeveless tunic, this ephod, and nothing else. So it's a little exposed, a little shameless. It's making the choir laugh back there. So the picture on the bulletin is not quite accurate. There's no purple robe involved. It's just the ephod. David is making himself vulnerable, nearly naked before God, because it is his way of worshiping and offering his full self to God. He is dancing as if nobody but God is watching. But there is somebody watching. She's in the picture in the bulletin, off to the side, looking from behind a curtain. his wife, Michal, and she is not happy. She looks upon David with scorn. She says that what he is doing is vulgar and shameless. It is indecent. Those are her reasons for disapproving of what he's doing. Now, to be fair, Michal has her own story. She, too, is a three-dimensional character. And if you're curious, I would invite you to go and read a little bit more about Michal. There may be some reasons why she's disdainful of David in this moment. But she sees his act of worship and scoffs at it. It makes me think about that moment in Jesus' ministry when he is at dinner in the home of one of the religious leaders, a room full of men, because that was the rule, that was what was appropriate, when in walks a woman, breaking all codes of decency, shamelessly coming in and throwing herself at Jesus' feet. She breaks open an alabaster jar and begins to anoint him and to dry her tears with her hair. And Jesus' host, who is a religious leader representing decorum and decency, says, "How can you let her do that? Do you not know what kind of woman she is? Not only is it shameless for her to come into this room while we're all having dinner, but her very person is shameful." So we have this woman who's offering herself, her love, her adoration, pouring out her heart before Jesus. And we have the religious leader who scorns her. We have David who is dancing wholeheartedly before God, pouring himself out in worship. And we have Michal who scorns him. And that lays out before me the question, am I more like David and this unnamed woman? Or am I more like Michal and the religious leader? Is there within me at times that spirit of judgment, of we got to keep order? Things have to be decent and decorum, and we have to be polite. We can't be too, crazy. Can't be too weird when it comes to church. I wonder, is that spirit at work in me at times, in us at times? The story goes on. David comes home and Michal comes out of the house to greet him. And you may have heard it as Patrick was reading it, the sarcasm in her voice. Well, what a great spectacle the king of Israel made of himself today, dancing half naked in front of everybody. You must be so proud. I know I am. That wasn't in the scriptures. That was my ad lib. But you get the idea. That's the spirit with which she says it. But David responds to her, "You know what? I will make myself even more contemptible for God. I will make myself even more indecent, more shameless, more vile, if that's what it takes to love God and love others with my whole heart." John Wesley quoted that verse. Early on in his ministry, he was ordained in the Anglican Church. And in the Church of England, it was very clear that if you were a priest, you could preach from the pulpit of your church, you could do ministry within the boundaries of your parish, but you didn't cross over into someone else's parish, and you didn't preach in someone else's church unless you were invited, of course. And you certainly didn't just preach willy-nilly in the middle of nowhere. But John Wesley was invited repeatedly by George Whitefield to come to the outskirts of Bristol, where there was a large community of coal miners and their families and people struggling and living in poverty who weren't being welcomed into the churches, who weren't hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. And John Wesley wrote in his journal that initially he felt that, and he was being sarcastic toward himself, "I used to think that souls could only be saved within the four walls of a church. But then I submitted to become more vile. I decided I would become more contemptible and step out into the fields and preach the gospel." And the first time he preached, there were 3,000 people, and the Methodist movement took off. He decided to become more vile. Are there times when our politeness, our decency, our desire to keep things in order get in the way of the power of the gospel reaching the world? I think about that group of 7 or 8 white pastors who wrote a letter to Martin Luther King Jr. as he was in the Birmingham jail. They were with him, they said. We are with you. We support desegregation. We support voting rights. We support the Civil Rights Act. But you're moving too fast. You're stirring up too much trouble. You're making people uneasy and uncomfortable. Why don't you tone it down a little bit? You'll reach more people that way. You'll get further in the long run if you just wait. And thank goodness Martin Luther King Jr. did not wait. And his letter from a Birmingham jail is a response to that letter he received from good-hearted, well-meaning leaders of the white church. And I have to wonder, would I, back then, would I have signed that letter? I'd like to say no, I wouldn't have. I would like to, today, look at King David dancing his heart out in front of the Ark of the Covenant. To look at that woman pouring out that expensive ointment in gratitude and love for Jesus. To look at John Wesley stepping out into the fields and breaking the rules of decorum in the Anglican Church while the authorities looked on and scoffed. To look at the courage of Martin Luther King Jr., who refused to allow those in power to hold him back from what God was calling him to do. I want to look at them and go out and dance as if nobody but God was watching. Amen.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in the hymnal? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here in the sanctuary, you can use a gray card in the pew racks and fill it out, and you can place those in the offering boxes at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex or out the side doors. This morning we have 3 births to celebrate. Millie Ann Pendergrass was born on September 2nd to Ann Stewart and Pearson Pendergrass in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's welcomed also by her siblings Liza and Ford Pendergrass and grandparents Jean Ann and Barry Banker. We also celebrate the birth of Wells Patrick Flick, who was born on September 13th to Jamie and Ben Flick. He is welcomed also by his big sister, Vera Flick. And finally, we celebrate the birth of Martin Tripp Wiegand III, who was born on September 16th to Jane and Martin Wiegand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator God, like the heavens that tell of your glory, like the lilies and sparrows that tell of your faithfulness. We join with all of creation in praising you this day. We give you thanks for the wonder of movement, of using our unique and diverse bodies and abilities to worship you. Whether we leap for joy or lift up our spirits, whether we sing our praise or speak our adoration, whether we raise our arms or simply open our hands, we ask that you would receive our offerings of worship. Yet we admit, O God, that we do not always feel joyful. We do not always feel like dancing. The sorrow and struggles of our world can feel heavy and burdensome. And sometimes it is all we can do to lift up our heads to begin a new day. When we feel this way, O God, help us to offer our burdens to you. Send others to come alongside us that we might know that we are not alone. Lighten our loads and lift us up, that we might once again experience the joy of your salvation. We remember too others who carry heavy burdens this day. We remember those who are sick, those who struggle with chronic pain or chronic illness. We remember those who have lost loved ones and those who feel lonely. We remember the hungry and those who do not have shelter. And we remember those who are displaced, who yearn for a home that is no longer what it once was. To all of these, O God, grant your healing, your comfort, your provision, and your peace. On this Pride weekend, we also remember your LGBTQIA+ children, especially those who've experienced rejection and trauma because of who they are. May they know deeply this day and all days how very beloved they are. O God, guide each of us in bearing witness to your love and grace in this world. Lead us as we join in your creative and recreating work. Help us to dance with joy, in body or in spirit, as we give you glory. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a very different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options that are listed on the screen or in the chat. For those worshiping here in person, there are offering boxes, as I mentioned, at the back of the sanctuary in the narthex and through the side doors where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to our God who loves us unconditionally.
we go from this place following the Lord of the dance, dancing with our lives, our hearts, our bodies, our hands and feet, to share with the world the love of God, which we have celebrated in this place and which goes before us always.